to the Oscars. But it's more than that. It's a time when a film like this about a dictatorship is getting global attention. And what were your thoughts?
I can't help thinking that history is a cycle of repetitions. I'm 57 years old now. And in over the years, I have seen so many hyper-violent, brutal developments that have to do with aggression, just violence and land grabs.
Brazilian filmmaker Kleber Mendonça Filho, the director and screenwriter of The Secret Agent. The film's been nominated for 4 Oscars, including Best Picture and Best Actor. The film stars Wagner Moura. To see the full interview, go to democracynow.org. That does it for today's show. On Saturday, March 7th, I'll be in Savannah, Georgia at the Hindsight Film Festival for a screening of the award-winning documentary Steal the Story, Please, about the 30 years of Democracy Now! It begins at 7. Check our website at democracynow.org. I'll be speaking at the Q&A after with the film's director, Tia Lesson. That does it again for the show Democracy Now! Produced with Mike Burke, Dina Guzder, Messiah Rhodes, Maria Terracena, Nicole Salazar. I'm Amy Goodman. Thank you so much for joining us.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Engineering Committee meets on the first Thursday of the month at 7 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Tune in to KBOO for our International Women's Day special. Oh, our International Women's Weekend Marathon. One day is not enough.
It's this weekend.
We're kicking things off early Saturday morning, and we won't stop until Monday. Tune in for thoughtful discussion in English and Spanish, coverage of the issues that trans and incarcerated women are facing, and celebrations of women in music. That's KBOO's International Women's Weekend on your community connection, KBOO Portland.
Support for KBOO comes from its members and from the Washington State Department of Ecology, hosting a workshop about geothermal energy opportunities and risks in the Wind River Valley on March 5th at the Stevenson Community Library, or virtually. More information is available at ecy.wa.gov/geothermal.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on the KBOO Evening News, Portland City Council considers an anti-discrimination proposal to support polyamorous and non-traditional relationships, New Seasons Market lays off union and non-union employees, and in national news, the Pentagon wants more money. Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, March 4th, 2026. I'm Nate Kapp.
And I'm Dave Johnson.
Portland City Council will consider an anti-discrimination proposal Wednesday in support of polyamorous relationships and other non-traditional families. The proposal applies to city government, landlords, employers, and businesses who serve the public. The proposed policy, part of a larger ordinance that upholds LGBTQ plus rights, allows people to sue over claims of discrimination related to employment, housing, and other areas. If passed, the move proposed by Councillor Tiffany Coyama-Lane would define a family as any consensual relationship, including those involving multiple partners, multi-generational households, stepfamilies, and non-monogamous relationships. Councillor Coyama-Lane said, quote, "Nobody should fear that who they care for could jeopardize their job, their housing, or their ability to live in public as their authentic selves," end quote. The proposal under consideration would change anti-discrimination code to bar discrimination against any such family or relationship structures. City code already prohibits discrimination against familial status. In addition to Portland's effort to protect polyamorous families, the cities of Oakland, California, and Cambridge, Massachusetts have similar protections.
Portland Public Schools Metropolitan Learning Center won't be closing after all. Last Friday, PPS reversed a decision to close the high school grade at Metropolitan Learning Center, a K-12 school in Northwest Portland. The district is facing budget problems. They justified closing the program because of low enrollment, just 41 students, and higher per student costs. Officials admitted they'd made the closure decision without consulting the MLC community. That community of students, parents, and staff reacted with strong opposition. One argument was that MLC serves a large percentage of neurodivergent, queer, transgender students and was the last safe space for its students. Superintendent Dr. Kimberly Armstrong said, quote, "As MLC focuses on building a strong ninth grade class, central office teams with partner with the MLC community to strengthen programming and visibility."
New Seasons Market laid off nearly 100 union and non-union workers across the Portland metro area Tuesday. The grocery chain says job cuts are needed following last December's labor agreement that raised workers' wages. A company spokesperson said in an email statement to Oregon Live, quote, "Following the ratification of a new labor agreement and wage increases across all stores, our ongoing labor costs have significantly increased. As a result, we have had to make limited staffing reductions across 20 locations, both union and non-union," end quote. The union said 75% of those layoffs are at unionized stores. The union said, quote, "We are outraged by the company's decision to lay off our fellow co-workers. We will use every means at our disposal to fight these layoffs and support our membership," end quote. New Seasons Market was an independently owned grocery store that began operation 26 years ago. The grocery store is currently owned by Good Food Holdings, whose parent company is South Korea's E-Mart. In 2025, E-Mart posted a profit of nearly $170 million after losing nearly $400 million the previous year. The labor agreement signed last December boosts the average New Seasons union member to $23.37 per hour with an annual cost of living adjustment. The starting wage for union members is now $19 per hour. The New Seasons union is holding a membership meeting tomorrow. The union said, quote, "We will be discussing and approving a plan of action to respond to this decision," end quote.
A bill working its way through the Oregon legislature would bar state agencies from assisting off-state investigations to legal abortions and gender-affirming care provided in Oregon. Proponents say the Strengthening Provider and Patient Privacy Act, HB 4088A, is necessary to safeguard patients and healthcare professionals from attacks based on Trump administration policies. KBOO's Nate Davis has the details.
The Oregon House passed a bill that would boost protections for abortion and gender-affirming care providers and patients. The measure would bar state agencies from aiding federal or out-of-state investigations into legal health care provided in Oregon. Mariana Garcia Medina is with the ACLU of Oregon, which helped write the act. She says the Strengthening Provider and Patient Privacy Act is a response to the Trump administration's aggressive attacks on reproductive and gender-affirming healthcare rights across the country.
What we're doing is we're making very clear that as a state, our agencies will not be willingly or voluntarily cooperating or providing any personally identifiable information of our patients or providers in the state of Oregon that provide legal healthcare.
Garcia Medina adds, the legislation would protect trans Oregonians by ensuring that all name and gender marker changes become confidential once they are filed together in court. Critics of the bill argue that it could hinder investigations from outside agencies into medical malpractice cases. Garcia Medina says the act would not change current laws regarding malpractice, nor would it affect the ability of outside agencies to conduct research.
The bill would not interfere with legitimate medical research into truly de-identified information as permitted by federal HIPAA law.
Since the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade in 2022, 13 states have completely banned providing or receiving abortions. Those convicted face up to 10 years in prison and fines up to $100,000. The Oregon legislation would also prevent healthcare professionals and patients from being extradited to face charges in other states. It will likely be up for a Senate vote later this week. For KBOO News and Oregon News Service, I'm Nate Davis.
A Marine veteran files an excessive force lawsuit after he was tackled by a federal officer during protests at the ICE facility in Portland. Darren Hertzberg, 35, says federal officers targeted him twice in August, even though he was part of peaceful rallies at the facility. Hertzberg regularly attends demonstrations, often bringing a large speaker blasting music and commentary from other protesters. The first tackling incident on August 13 was captured on video. The video shows Hertzberg standing by the driveway before a federal officer tackles Hertzberg from behind and pushes him into the ground. Hertzberg says it bruised him to the point that it hurt to breathe, and he was diagnosed with chest contusions in the ER. A U.S. Department of Homeland Security spokesperson defended the agent's tactics, saying Hertzberg, quote, used fake blood to falsify his injuries and repeatedly perpetuated and encouraged violence against federal officers, end quote. Hertzberg went back to ICE 3 days later, but says he was more reserved and kept a safer distance. But federal officers tackled him again, this time leaving him with a concussion. Both incidents landed Hertzberg with federal criminal charges. He was cited in August for 4 petty offenses, including trespassing on federal property and throwing articles of any kind from or at a building. Hertzberg admitted he was throwing dog treats over the fence and calling federal officers lapdogs. Hertzberg plans to fight the charges.
A pending Supreme Court ruling in Louisiana versus Calais determined whether race can be considered when drawing voting districts. Washington State voting district advocates say the outcome could trigger widespread legal challenges to districts designed to protect minority voting power, including in Yakima County. Isabel Charlet reports.
Washington voting rights advocates say a pending U.S. Supreme Court ruling could disenfranchise voters of color and open the door to gutting the Federal Voting Rights Act. The ruling for Louisiana versus Calais will be released soon, which will determine if race can be considered when drawing voting districts, even to correct proven discrimination. Neelu Jenks with Fair Vote Washington says the Voting Rights Act has long been used to ensure that communities of color can elect their preferred candidates through the creation of majority-minority districts.
This is a fundamentally important decision to the very fabric of how much change has happened in our nation since 1965. These are rights that took generations to win that can be undone by a handful of decisions.
Those challenging Louisiana's congressional map argue that race played too big a role in drawing its lines, going beyond what's needed under the Voting Rights Act. Jenks warns that if the Supreme Court agrees, it could open the door to legal challenges across the country against districts meant to address discrimination, including in Washington. She adds that if it's released soon, the decision could impact the primaries in the fall. In 2014, Yakima County was found in violation of the Voting Rights Act for diluting the Latino vote through their countywide elections. The districts were redrawn in 2021 to create the county's first Latino majority district. Jenks says that district would likely come under scrutiny if the court sides against Louisiana.
In our state, it would be especially the Latino community that would be impacted. It would make it harder for local communities of color to secure fair fair representation. They'd be disadvantaged.
Nilu says she's proud of the progress Washington has made in its voting systems, including implementing mail-in ballots and same-day registration. She calls on lawmakers to continue to expand the state's Voting Rights Act by adopting pre-clearance and ranked choice voting to help protect from what she calls future federal threats. I'm Isabel Charlet, Washington News Service.
Voters in Arkansas, North Carolina, and Texas kick off the 2026 midterm primary elections. Nuclear weapons experts warn of a diplomacy breakdown as the Iran war expands, and blue states aim to hike taxes on the ultra-rich. With that story and more, it's Catherine Carley with 2026 Talks.
Welcome to 2026 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
It's really about taking advantage of your opportunity to vote and not rolling over so that maybe representative government doesn't represent you.
Stacey Blakely with the nonprofit Builders Movement says their new ad campaign encourages Texas voters not to curl up and hide from the primary elections like armadillos. That looks unlikely. The extremely close Democratic Senate contest between Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett and State Representative James Tallarico has seen a record turnout, and the contentious Republican battle may go to a runoff. Former North Carolina Democratic Governor Roy Cooper will face former RNC Chair Michael Whatley when trying to replace retiring Republican Senator Tom Tillis. In Arkansas, the race for governor and all the seats in Congress are rated solidly Republican. As the Iran war escalates, nuclear weapons experts say they're concerned about a new arms race. Alicia Sanders-Zachary with the International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons says UN inspectors haven't visited Iran's nuclear facilities since a U.S. bombing campaign last summer, and warns that nuclear materials could be stolen in the chaos.
It's very concerning, and certainly the risk of nuclear nonproliferation and nuclear use is now much higher than it was before the Israeli and U.S. strikes.
She says the last remaining nuclear arms control agreement between the U.S. and Russia just expired, with President Donald Trump expressing little concern. The administration's telling Congress the U.S. will increase the intensity of attacks on Iran, but it's publicly giving various justifications, goals, and timelines for the conflict. A group of moderate House Democrats has introduced a war powers resolution, giving the White House more leeway than the resolution backed by party leadership, which would require the immediate withdrawal of forces. A vote is expected this week. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem testified before a Senate committee as lawmakers grappled over her unprecedented budget. Tillis, the North Carolina moderate Republican and administration critic, pilloried Noem for violating citizens' rights in an effort to reach a preset quota for deportations.
Quality matters, not quantity, quality. And what we've seen is a disaster under your leadership, Ms. Noem, a disaster.
During her testimony, Noem declined to apologize for implying two Minnesota residents shot and killed by ICE agents were domestic terrorists. Progressive Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders has introduced legislation to create a 5% annual wealth tax on America's billionaires. More than 100 bills have been filed in state capitals to raise taxes on the ultra-rich. Ryan Tipping with the group Mainers for Tax Fairness says Americans want their government to fund public services, not kickbacks to wealthy donors.
They're raising costs for regular people who can least afford it, so they can give even more to those that already have everything.
I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. Stay tuned after the newscast for an in-depth interview with Street Roots editor-in-chief Kay Rambo about their article, Caught in the Bottleneck. Shelters can be a dead end for Portlanders seeking housing. Then, Ken Jones speaks with Portland filmmaker Penny Allen about her new movie, Pushing Past the Bad. Stick around at 6, it's PDX Progressive Talk Radio. Then at 7, listen in for Hard Knock Radio. Tonight's weather, expect clouds with an overnight low of 46. Tomorrow's weather, we'll see more clouds with a chance of a shower later in the afternoon. Look for a high of 50 degrees. Today in history, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt appoints Frances Perkins as U.S. Secretary of Labor, making her the first female U.S. cabinet member. Among her many accomplishments, she drafted the 1938 Fair Labor Standards Act, banning child labor and establishing a minimum wage and a 40-hour work week. The quote of the day is from former Labor Secretary Frances Perkins, who said, quote, "Feminism means revolution, and I'm a revolutionist," end quote.
The U.S. Government Accountability Office, GAO, has published numbers on how many employees left the Bureau of Indian Affairs, BIA, during President Donald Trump's first year in office. BIA focused on reducing its federal workforce through layoffs and hiring freezes. With that story and more, it's Antonia Gonzalez with National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The U.S. Government Accountability Office has published numbers on how many employees left the Bureau of Indian Affairs during President Trump's first year in office. The BIA focused on reducing its federal workforce through layoffs and hiring freezes. KJZZ's Gabriel Pietrazio has details.
The 31-page report finds that more than 800 employees were gone by last July. That's roughly 11%. When such restructuring occurs, the BIA is supposed to notify tribes in advance.
Tribal leaders told us that the consultations happened after the staff reductions.
Anna Maria Ortiz is director of GAO's Natural Resources and Environmental Team.
It's resulting in the loss of a lot of institutional knowledge, and it's very hard for BIA to fulfill its mission.
The BIA did not offer a comment to GAO on its original report, but tells KJZZ it is committed to increasing efficiency, accountability, and support for tribal self-determination. For National Native News, I'm Gabriel Pietrazio.
Since assuming his second term last year, President Donald Trump has leveled several executive orders that have affected Two-Spirits and the Native LGBTQ plus community. Brian Bull of Buffalo's Fire reports.
Trump's decree for federal agencies is to only recognize male and female as genders determined at conception. Trump has also banned gender-affirming care for youth. Elton Noswood is the executive director of the Two-Spirits and Native LGBTQ plus Center for Equity. He says as the White House began its onslaught against his community last year, he reached out to the National Congress of American Indians, which reactivated its Two-Spirit task force.
I had heard a community member express the frustration of why our people are not protecting us. Just that simple phrase really hit me and instilled some type of advocacy tactic to be able to begin to highlight the issues of how the Trump administration's executive orders were going to impact our communities.
Before colonization, Two-Spirits were accepted and even seen as sacred in many tribes. But over the past few centuries, Western attitudes have sparked intolerance and harassment against them and Native LGBTQ plus people. Noswood says resolutions from the NCAI help, as does carrying on events like the annual Bay Area American Indian Two-Spirit Powwow. Just being among community is healing, he adds. For National Native News, I'm Brian Bull.
Western Washington communities are applauding the State House and Senate for including full wildfire prevention funding in their proposed budgets. Isabel Charlet has more.
The decisions honor a previous legislative commitment. Glenn Ellis Jr. is a board member of the Nature Conservancy and a member of the Macaw Tribe. The Macaw Reservation sits on the north end of the Olympic Peninsula, one of the rainiest places in the country. Ellis notes that while people rarely associate the peninsula with fire, recent years have proven otherwise.
3 years ago, we had two fires sprout up during November. It's just crazy to think that fire could spread in a place like this during that time. We get 119 inches of rain a year. We're a temperate rainforest.
Funds from what was known as House Bill 1168 that passed 5 years ago have helped 175 small forest landowners in three counties reduce wildfire risk through thinning and prescribed burns. I'm Isabel Charlet.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
ICE officers could find it more difficult to find their next job if lawmakers in four states get their way. Some state-level Democratic lawmakers want to make current and future Homeland Security employees ineligible for jobs in law enforcement, public education, and state civil service. These bills are still in the works, but their supporters want people to think twice about taking a job in Homeland Security or its departments like ICE. Democratic New Jersey Assemblyman Ravi Bala said, quote, "If you're an ICE agent, you're signing up to engage in unlawful conduct. You're signing up to engage in racially profiling Latino communities. You're signing up to engage in illegal detentions and deportations of people who have legal rights in this country. You're signing up for the separation of families and children," end quote. The bill in New Jersey would bar anyone who joined ICE between last September and the end of Trump's term forever getting a state or local government job. DHS spokesperson Tricia McLaughlin accused lawmakers who proposed these bills of, quote, "falsely casting federal law enforcement as villains, while ICE officers are being targeted, threatened, and doxxed simply for doing their jobs," end quote. Maryland, Washington, and California are also considering these sorts of bills. Critics of the law in California say it's employment discrimination. Currently, federal law protects people from discrimination based on race, color, religion, sex, sexual orientation, or gender identity, national origin, disability, or genetic information. Thanks to Congress's approval of the Trump administration's Big Beautiful Bill, DHS has between $165 and $170 billion to hire thousands of new officers.
The Pentagon is planning to ask Congress to approve a supplemental funding package of around $50 billion to help finance Trump's unauthorized war on Iran, which has already cost billions of dollars and many lives. Reuters reported the new money would pay for replacing the weapons used in recent conflicts, including those in the Middle East. Allison McManus of the Center for American Progress said, at more than $5 billion and counting, the costs of Operation Epic Fury in only its first few days of operations could cover Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, benefits for more than 2 million Americans for a year. Republican Senator from Wisconsin Ron Johnson said, quote, "I think it would have support of Republicans. Everybody always wants money, any excuse, whether they'll need it or not. My guess, they'll need it. We're shooting off a lot of ammo. Gotta restock," end quote. Any supplemental spending package to support the Iran war effort would come on top of the more than $150 billion the Pentagon received from a party-line tax and spending package Republicans enacted last summer, and nearly $839 billion in regular funding Congress cleared last month. The supplemental spending package could be presented as soon as Friday.
KBOO News poet Dan Raphael asks, an unhinged narcissist with many weapons? Hey, what could go right?
Yes, Ayatollah Khomeini was a most evil and murderous creature, but 100-plus Iranian schoolgirls did not need to die on the same day. Breaking the law is breaking the law. The Constitution says only Congress can declare war, and though the Supremes gave Donnie immunity, Taoist atheist me wishes there was some kind of supreme being to show up and restore justice. But our world doesn't work that way. Many more innocent people across a good swath of the world are dying because of what Trump and Israel are doing. Americans will die, not just through Iranian actions, but due to what the fiscal cost of war will do to government welfare programs. And maybe they'll drag this violence into November as an excuse to cancel elections, which could be the goal. Good time to be a weapons maker or an oil company. Oil prices went up 10% on the war's first day and continue climbing. How's that for affordability? Keep the peace within and around you. Grow the community one encounter at a time. Trump will go away. That probably won't be enough, but we'll be around to renew and rebuild. For Poetic Justice, this is Dan Raphael.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, March 4th, 2026. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call or text us with your breaking news stories and tips at 971-801-1378. Our production team for tonight's newscast includes Josh Salem, Dan Raphael, Hannah Francis, Ken Jones, and Nate Davis. The producer is Dave Johnson, and our engineer is Ray Bodwell. Special thanks to Catherine Carley, Antonio Gonzalez, Isabel Charlet, and Dr. Anthony Leisowitz. The director of the evening news is Althea, the storyteller Billings. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Nate Kapp.
And I'm Dave Johnson. All of our KBOO programs, including the evening news, are supported by our members. If you'd like to become a member and support our programming, you can go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. Stay tuned now for KBOO News in Depth.
KBOO News in Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
You're listening to KBOO News in Depth. I'm Hannah Francis. Straight Roots is a nonprofit organization in Portland, Oregon that creates income opportunities for people experiencing homelessness and poverty by producing a newspaper and other media that are catalysts for individual and social change. The article we are discussing today is called Caught in the Bottleneck: Shelters Can Be a Dead End for Homeless Portlanders Seeking Housing. Since 2021, the city all but eliminated spending that could open new doors. This article is written by Editor-in-Chief Kay Rambo. I have here with me Kay Rambo. Thanks for being here, Kay.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So you write in your article that almost all the funding for housing homeless Portlanders was eliminated in 2021, and yet the city has spent hundreds of millions on homelessness and affordable housing. So can you break down sort of this disparity and how this money is not getting actually directed to housing people who are homeless in our city?
Yeah, I mean, so the county is, I will say, putting money toward housing, but there would be considerably more if the city was doing the same. And so what we see prior to the pandemic and prior to federal spending on homelessness, which was kind of a one-time short-term thing, the city was spending about $20 million a year on programs specifically to house folks living on the streets. That went up.